Amen. Well, we're going to continue on from what we talked about last week, which was Just Give Me Jesus, and tonight is part two of this. And our title is Release His Glory. After we've cried out and really grabbed a hold of this thought in our life of Just Give Me Jesus, what do we do after He comes and He fills us? And His call upon our lives is so clear in His word, and I want to encourage us tonight in this aspect of release His glory. If you have your Bibles, let's open up to 2 Chronicles chapter 31. 2 Chronicles 31, starting at verse 20. This is what Hezekiah did throughout Judah, doing what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God in everything that he undertook in the service of God's temple. And in obedience to the law and the commands, he sought his God and worked wholeheartedly, and so he prospered. When Hezekiah became king at the young age of 25, he determined to rebuild and repair the temple of the Lord. And these verses tell us that in everything that he undertook, in the service of God's temple, it says that he sought his God, he worked wholeheartedly, and so he prospered. I want to encourage us tonight that we each are called to build the house of God. And when we seek the Lord and when we work with all of our hearts, his plan for our life and for his house, it prospers according to his word. A couple of chapters earlier than this passage, it lays out the foundation of this project of rebuilding the temple. If you flip back to 2 Chronicles chapter 29, beginning at verse 3, in the first month of the first year of his reign, he opened the doors of the temple of the Lord and repaired them. He brought in the priests and the Levites and said, "Listen to me, Levites, consecrate yourselves now and consecrate the temple of the Lord, the God of your ancestors. Remove all defilements from the sanctuary." Verse 11, "My sons, my daughters, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him and serve him, to minister before him, and to burn incense." Then these Levites set to work. Verse 15, "When they had consecrated themselves, they went in to purify the temple of the Lord, as the king had ordered, following the word of the Lord. The priests went into the sanctuary of the Lord to purify it. They brought out to the courtyard of the Lord's temple everything unclean that they found in the temple of the Lord." The principles that Hezekiah followed in rebuilding the temple of the Lord, they are the same principles that we are called to in building the house of God in our lives. You know, Jesus declared that, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." The plan of Jesus is to increase his house. It is to add to his house, but his plan is for us to work. It is for us to build it. We are told to seek first the kingdom of God. We need to prioritize what we are seeking first in our lives. When we honor him first, the word says, then all of our needs, all of these things shall be added unto us. In the name of Jesus, God wants our focus to first be on his kingdom, on his glory, covering the areas of our lives, in his church, and in our workplaces and our homes. God wants to see his house being added to, being increased, not only in numbers, but in the strength and the fruit of his people. As we become strong, we must pursue the kingdom of God and disciple those that he will bring to us. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. "In the last days, which are these days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples," it says, "will come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths.'" We are a part of this vision of God's, that we would gather in his house, that many people would come to his house. Can you say many people? That we would ascend his holy mountain. That is to press into the Holy of Holies so that he can teach us his ways and that we would walk in his paths and release his glory. You know, he visits us during our worship services. He allows us to stand in his holy presence. And I want to ask you tonight, do you experience him powerfully when we gather together on Sundays and in other services during the week? Do you feel him pouring out of his Holy Spirit upon your hearts and upon your life as you stand in his holy presence? As we declare majesty, we exalt thee. He calls us to ascend his holy mountain and to be filled with the power and the fullness of his glory. Isaiah saw the Lord seated high. And as he had this experience with the Lord, it says that the train of his robe filled the temple. It filled the house of God. And Isaiah had this tremendous experience with God, but he understood in that moment that God was calling him beyond that experience. God was saying, Isaiah, I am allowing you to feel the fullness of my glory, but I'm calling you beyond this. And Isaiah feels this, and he understands that God is calling him beyond this experience, and that is why we hear him say, here I am, Lord. I surrender my life. Fill me with your glory. Send me, and I will release the power of your spirit and your glory into those that you call us to, call me to. When we gather and we stand and worship before him, I am sure you would agree with me that I am humbled as he draws us so close to him. But I feel him calling us to move. After we have experienced him, he says, now I want you to move. I want you to be increased and to carry my glory. That after we have ascended the holy mountain in our worship and in his word, that it's time to carry his glory and it's time to work. It's time to build. It's time to make his house great. He wants to add to his house. Do you believe that tonight? And he wants to use us in the building up of his house. How are we called to release his glory that we might see his increase and build his house? Number one tonight is prepare for his glory. 2 Chronicles 29, verses 5 to 7. Listen to me, Levites. Consecrate yourselves now and consecrate the temple of the Lord. Remove all defilements from the sanctuary. Our parents were unfaithful. They did evil in the eyes of the Lord our God and forsook him. They turned their faces away from the Lord's dwelling place and turned their backs on him. They also shut the doors of the portico and put out the lamps. They did not burn incense or present any burnt offerings at the sanctuary to the God of Israel. The first thing they did was to consecrate themselves, was to remove and put off all defilement, it says. And you know, this principle is taught very clearly in the Word of God, that the level in which we choose to put off the ungodliness, the level in which we choose to lay aside the worldliness in our lives, it is related to the level in which we will experience the glory and the power of God in our lives. The first call upon us in building his house is to choose holiness. Other translations, they use the word sanctify, which means to dedicate, to be holy, to prepare, and be separate. There is a reason that this is the very first call upon us as we take ground for the Lord, as we advance the kingdom. Because when we put off the unholy things in our lives, when we empty our lives of the things that do not belong in the presence of the holy God, it allows us to draw closer to his glory. Psalm 15, 1 to 2. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. We will go deeper in our worship experience and experience more of his presence when we cleanse our minds and we cleanse our hearts before we enter into that worship to the Lord. It is a specific action, isn't it? It requires us taking action and making a choice to put off those things, to say no to those things, to make a change, to turn away from the world, to turn away from the desires and the temptations that are all around us. Prepare your mind, prepare your hearts for His glory. Psalm 24, 3-4, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol. In Joshua 3, verse 5, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. What are the amazing things that the Lord has in store for His house and for His kingdom? Have you ever asked that of Him? Lord, what are those amazing things? Allow me to see that. Allow me to catch that vision and to catch a deeper understanding of that. Change my spirit to be one with Your spirit. Allow me to have the faith to see the amazing things of what You want to do in Your house, in this city, in Your family, in Your neighborhood. He says, consecrate yourself for tomorrow. After you put off the unholy things, I will do amazing things in my house for His glory. Number two tonight, ascend the holy mountain and receive His glory. After Hezekiah called them to consecrate, he called them then to minister unto the Lord. Chapter 29, verses 11 and 31. My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before Him and serve Him, to minister before Him and to burn incense. Then Hezekiah said, you have now dedicated yourselves to the Lord. Come and bring sacrifices and thank offerings to the temple of the Lord. So the assembly brought sacrifices and thank offerings, and all whose hearts were willing brought burnt offerings. They've chosen holiness, and now it is time to minister worship unto the Lord. And He encourages them by saying, you have been chosen. You have been chosen to stand before the Lord, to serve Him, and to minister before Him. In verse 31, and all whose hearts were willing brought burnt offerings. When we set a priority during our days to minister worship unto the Lord, it softens our hearts, doesn't it? It makes us available for Him to fill us with His glory so that it can be released out of us. There is an availability and a willingness upon our lives when we place a priority upon this. And there are lots of passages in the Bible where we can hear the invitation from the Lord to ascend His holy mountain and experience the fullness of His glory, because that's where it resides. And He invites us. He calls us to come closer, to be changed by Him. He's ready to put a deeper fire within His church. He is ready to stir deeper waters within our hearts for the sake of His kingdom. But it's up to us, family, to be hungry for this, to want this in our spirits. It is not God who is holding us back. It is us who are holding us back. And there is greater fruits and there is greater breakthrough. There is a greater adding and a greater increase to His house that He says, I am ready. I am ready to add to your house, but we have to want that in our spirits. Do we have hearts that are willing to respond, just as these Levites did, to this invitation of a deeper worship? Psalm 87, verse 2, the Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the other dwellings of Jacob. When we come into His house with hearts that are pure, that are willing to worship Him with everything that we have, laying aside every weight and every distraction. Psalm 26, verse 8, Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. He loves His house so much. He is committed. He is dedicated to His house, to His church, to His people. He is calling and He is looking for us to come closer, to ascend His holy hill, that we would be those that would seek after Him, that would not walk, that would not crawl, but we would be those that would run, that would passionately pursue, that would run up the holy mountain of the Lord just to be consumed by him, just to be closer to him. And I want to say, if you have never experienced this level of the glory of God in your life tonight, it will remove the desire of anything that leaves you empty and dry in your life. Let us be encouraged by his word to go deeper and receive more of his glory. Psalm 63, verses 1 to 4. Oh God, you are my God. Would you say that in your heart tonight? You are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a land that is dry and thirsty where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Psalm 84, 1 to 2 and 8 to 10. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh, they cry out for the living God. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. The heart of Jesus Christ is to build, is to add to, is to increase his church. And part of his plan in fulfilling this vision, in fulfilling his heart, is to fill us with more of his glory so that we can release the power of his spirit, that we can release the glory that he imparts into our lives. May we catch this vision and ascend his holy mountain. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Can you say that in your heart and in your life tonight? Let us go up his holy mountain to behold his glory as Moses did, as Joshua did, as David did. Psalm 42, 1 to 2, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for the living God. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And this is his promise to us in Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Let us keep ascending, church, as we already have been. Let us keep pressing in and seeking after his glory until every single one of us can say, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere, my God. And number three, the final thing tonight, in order to see his house built up, we must work and release his glory. Hezekiah called them to consecrate their lives. And then he called them to minister worship unto the Lord. And then he called them to work and to build. 2 Chronicles 29, verse 12 and 16. Then these Levites set to work. They made a decision. They made a choice to work. And the priests went into the sanctuary of the Lord to purify it. They brought out to the courtyard of the Lord's temple everything unclean that they found in the temple of the Lord. There is a principle of working. There is a principle of each one of us putting our hands to the plow and working to build his church for his glory and for his kingdom. He has given us the tools to make his house great, to strengthen one another in the body of Christ, the tools of prayer, deep intercession, where we bear one another's burdens, the tools of encouragement, the giftings that are laid out for us in the Word of God, of serving, of helping, of giving our finances, and so many more. And you know, I am so thankful for the number of people that work in this house, that serve in this house week after week to make his house great for his glory. We each have a ministry. If you've never attended church life seminars, I encourage you to do so. And in the gifting course, we teach that everybody has a ministry unto the Lord. Your ministry may not be teaching. It may not be in a specific ministry, but we all have a ministry unto the Lord. And we each have the tools and the mandate upon us to pray and to encourage and to build up our brothers and sisters in the Lord. There are people who come to our church on Sundays, on Mondays, on Tuesdays. Every time the doors of this house are open, you can be sure that there are people, many people, who are in desperate need of encouragement, who are in desperate need of love and somebody just to lay their hands upon them and just to encourage them to keep running the race. And this is how we will see the church built. This is how we will see it strengthened and added to. I am thankful tonight for our district pastors whose entire ministry it is to care for the people. If you are here and you do not know who your district pastor is, first of all, you have one. We encourage you to contact the church office and to connect with them. You are not meant to run this race, to live this life alone. And we have beautiful men and women of God who are set in place to care for you, to walk with you, to bear burdens with you. I'm thankful for those that gather in our prayer groups, for our deacons, for every person who serves to make his house great. If you think about the place where you work, how does the business grow? How do you produce results at your job? You show up and you use your tools and your service. He has given us the tools, the ability to search people out and to encourage them, to go after them. Matthew 9, 37 to 38, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. We will see the harvest produce results when we persistently water the seeds with our fervent prayers and intercessions. I'm thankful for the laborers in this house, and may we continue in this. May we be encouraged to unite our vision with his, to release our glory through our deep intercessions that he would use us to build his church. May we grow in the knowledge and the understanding of the purpose of our worship and the purpose of us encountering him. You see, if we leave his presence untouched and unchanged, we are missing the purpose of him drawing himself to us. He calls us tonight to consecrate our lives, to worship and be filled with his glory, and then to work and to build his house as his glory and his anointing flows out of us. Isaiah 2, verse 3, many peoples will come and say, come. We have to invite them. We have to say, come, let us go to the house of the Lord. Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. We will walk in his paths when we work and when we build his house and his kingdom. We cannot stay on the mountain. We must come down off that mountain with that impartation of his glory and allow it to be released out of our lives and the peoples he has called us to. Many peoples will come, it says. There are people, specific people that the Lord wants to add to his house. We need to pray these people into his church and into his kingdom. We need to love and encourage these people into his church and into his kingdom. Matthew 5, 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We cry out for his glory, don't we? We experience his glory. We love his glory. But do we release his glory? When he fills us and we stand in the Holy of Holies and we feel the cloak of his presence consuming us, when we respond to the altar week after week and by his grace and his mercy, he allows us to be consumed by his presence. What do we do with it after that? What do we do with his glory after he's given it to us? This is our mandate tonight, and I encourage us with this. Isaiah 60, 1 to 4 and 18. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried on the hip. No longer will violence be heard in your land, nor ruin or destruction within your borders, but you will call your wall salvation and your gates praise. Lord, let it be done according to your word, that we would call the walls of his house salvation, salvation, because we cannot even hold those who are being saved and added into his kingdom. Let us be able to call the walls of the city of Edmonton, the surrounding region, salvation, that all the churches are being added unto, that they are being increased in the salvation of the Lord, and that we call our gates praise. We lift up our heads and we say, King of glory, come into your house, and we give you the praise and the glory. His glory rises upon us, and he says, arise and shine, and let his glory be released through us. People will come. Your sons and daughters will come from afar. And when we shine forth his glory, we will call our walls salvation and our gates praise. John 4:35, I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Pray to the Lord and ask that laborers would bring in this harvest. What will we do with his glory? May we each work. May we each intercede. May we each pursue our brothers and our sisters and say, how can I help you be stronger in the Lord? How can I help you win this race? How can I help you overcome? As in our families, we bear with one another, don't we? In our own families, in our homes, we lift each other up. We bear the burdens. We encourage them. We strengthen one another. It is the same in the family of God. He will build his house through us. The gates of hell will not prevail because we are a people that will intercede and that will pray and that will go after the body of Christ to make sure that they are being strengthened and they are being encouraged. He will add to his house. His power will come when we do this. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. And in closing tonight, now, when we read about the early church in the book of Acts, we see the power of the Holy Spirit uniting the believers and empowering the believers. And I love reading about how thousands were added to the church. Many multiples of people were added to the church. We read about how it increased in numbers significantly because the people of God, they were united in God's vision of building his house. They consecrated themselves. They set themselves apart. They sought the Lord and they worked to pursue people, to pray for increase, to build his house. I pray tonight that each one of us would ask the Lord afresh how he's calling us to work and to build. Who in your life, I want you to think about this for a moment, who in your life needs a release of the glory and the power of the Holy Spirit to be breathed upon them? We all have somebody that the Lord has placed in our path, multiple people that the Lord has placed in our path. He says, I'm ready to use you. Would you be willing to be filled with his glory, to carry the weight of his glory, as we heard this morning, and then to allow that to be released out of us? I recently spoke with a friend who shared with me that she's been reaching out to her neighbor, praying for her and talking to her about the Lord, but she's not been seeing any fruit from that. But she knows that she can't give up. You know, it would be easy to look at the ways in which we are working, the ways in which we are reaching out, and to be discouraged when we don't see any fruit. And Jesus reminds us in his word that it is not by might or by power, but it's by his Holy Spirit. And it is him that will soften the hearts. Jesus is the one that will turn the hearts. That is not our job, but our job is to persevere. Our job is to not give up in our prayers, to keep reaching out, to keep believing that God is able and that he wants to. And this friend also mentioned how the Lord performed a small miracle as well in another person's heart that she's been praying for. A lady who has had no interest in church, absolutely no interest in the things of God, so much so that the people in her life said she'll never be interested in coming to church. She will never be interested in hearing about the Lord. Her heart is too hard. And my friend, you know, she didn't receive that. And she went to the Lord and she said, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we call a softening of our hearts. And we ask that you would come and move upon her heart. Make her interested in the name of Jesus. Soften her. Cause her to reach out. And it wasn't very much longer when she received a phone call from this lady reaching out and asking for prayer, knowing that she needed the prayers of Jesus to make a difference in her life. It is a miracle, And you know, we need to hear stories like that because there are small miracles. Sometimes we're looking for these great miracles, but that is a miracle, and it is one life, one heart, one soul that God is working on because she persisted in prayer. How many times have we looked at people in our lives and we have deemed them as hopeless, and we have said, they will never turn to God. Their hearts are too hardened. They've gone through too much. They will never be able to turn to the Lord. And yet, if we persist in prayer and believe that God can move and can soften the hearts, if we work and reach out and release the power of His Spirit and presence into people, we will see Him move in His time. Be encouraged tonight that your prayers are being heard, but you have to keep working and keep interceding. Ask the Holy Spirit to open the doors, that people would be drawn to you, that conversations would be open, that you would have the wisdom to know what and when to speak. I pray we would take this mandate upon our lives, that we each would work in this. May we be intentional about who God is calling us to reach out to pray for, to encourage, to love. The greatest way that we are going to see increase in God's house and in His kingdom is through the fervent intercessions of His people. Psalm 102, verse 13, 16 to 17, it says, "You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. For the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in His glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer." And Lord, we pray that tonight. We ask that You would prepare people's hearts, make them ready and desiring to be built into Your family. Let's stand together tonight. This is what Hezekiah did throughout Judah, doing what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God, in everything that he undertook in the service of God's temple, and in obedience to the law and the commands, he sought his God and worked wholeheartedly, and so he prospered. It's time to consecrate our lives, church. It's time to seek the Lord and to go deeper. No matter how long you have been serving the Lord, there are fresh waters. There are deeper waters that he would call us to. And then he says it's time to work and it's time to build his house. I'm going to leave us with this final verse tonight, and I pray that every single person would begin to take this verse just into your life and upon your heart and begin to prophesy it over the house of the Lord. In Micah 4:1, it says, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days, which are these days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it." Lord, you promised that people would flow to your house. And we ask that and we stand upon that tonight for your glory. We stand on this promise. May we unite our hearts with God's heart. May we have willing hearts to stand before him and ascend his hill for his glory to fill us with such power that it would change us. May we work, church. May we pick up the tools of intercession. May we pick up the tools of those prophetic prayers and begin to claim his promises, that his glory would release out of us as the rivers flow tonight and as they never cease. And as deep calls out to deep, the Lord calls out to his children tonight. And he says, "Ascend my holy mountain and then come back down from that mountain so that my glory can be released out of you. Many peoples will flow to his house." If we unite our vision, if we unite our faith in this, Lord, let your glory fall. Lord, let your glory fall. Would you begin to pray that tonight? Begin to say that where you are right now. Lord, let your glory fall. Let's be united in this one cry tonight. Lord, let your glory fall. Let us be changed tonight as we sing majesty, as we stand in the Holy of Holies. Let us be changed. Let us lose the thing. Let us lose the desire for the things that make us weak. In the name of Jesus, let there be a running to your house to encounter you and be changed by you according to your word and to your heart. We're going to worship him, and if you need prayer for anything, we would love to pray for you. come to his altars, and we would love to believe with you and pray with you. But let us worship her majesty tonight. Let us worship and invite the King of Glory to come and change us.